Awesome. Well, it's great to see you guys here tonight. So we're going to talk about something that maybe typically isn't talked about in church, kind of in general, but especially in young adult ministries. So we're going to talk about widows tonight and how we as the church, and especially we as young adult ministry, are called to care for those who have lost a husband. And so this is where we're going to be tonight. So if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and grab them. We're going to be in James 1. Verse 27. So it's on page 654. If you grabbed a Bible on the way in, if not, you can just turn your Bible on and touch your way over to James. James 1, verse 27. It's good to be back with you guys. My name is Caleb. If we haven't met before, so I'm a pastoral resident here at Mosaic Church, and we are going to go ahead and jump in and get rolling. James 1, 27. If you've got any kind of background or history in the church, you've probably heard this verse before. This is one that's talked about often, but is rarely implemented. And so we'll go ahead and jump in. Verse 27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. So James here is laying out for the people that he's writing to. He's saying, and hear the weight of what he's saying, that religion that is pure and undefiled is this. So he's about to sum up for the people in this letter. If you want to know what religion is, what true religion is, it is what follows. So this is a huge statement that he's about to make. And what he claims is that true religion is taking care of the orphan and the widow in their affliction, and also keeping oneself unstained from the world. But we're going to look at this first part here tonight, that he says this is what true religion is, caring for the orphan and caring for the widow. So if you've been around at Mosaic at all, you've probably seen the emphasis and the care that's placed on orphans. This church does an unreal job at caring for children who don't have anyone to care for them. I've never been a part of a church that not only talks about it, but also does it. They live it out, right? I feel like today, adoption can kind of be glorified as this beautiful, easy, like Christian-y thing to do, and everybody should go and do it, and it's easy, and it's all romantic and beautiful. But the reality is that it's actually hard. It's actually difficult, and there's absolutely great beauty in it, but there's also great struggle in it. And here at Mosaic, I've heard that honesty, that transparency from our pastor, from Renaud, and also from the people here, that they love children. They're reaching out and adopting people who don't have fathers and mothers. And so just to run through some of the statistics of what is going on in this church, there have been nearly 100 children in the last several years who have been adopted and who once didn't have parents and now do. Over 100 children, right? It's easy to just hear the stat and to not think about it, but those are 100 kids, real children, who now have a home and who are walking through these churches and through these doors, and now have families who love them and who care for them and who want the best for them and who are raising them in the Lord and his instruction. And so this is what's going on here, that these kids who didn't have a home now do. There are a number of families here who are serving along the Safe Families program. So kids who are in danger and who need a home for just a little while to get out of the situation that they're in. There are families who have said, hey, they've opened up their homes completely and said, we will be a safe place for kids. Not to adopt them for their lives, but to give them a refuge for a moment. And there are families who have opened their doors to kids. Foster families here who are taking in foster kids to give them the care that they need. For many of us here, I would imagine most of you aren't in the middle of adopting kids. We're not really in the stage of life to adopt children. But they've also here put something on us. It's called wraparound care that gives us an opportunity to be able to come alongside families who are actually doing this and who are in the midst of it and giving us opportunities to get into their homes and help babysit so that the parents can have a night out and have a date night or just become a part of these families. And so we as young adults can begin to wrap around these families who are living this out and walk alongside them. If you expand it from just orphans to also looking at children who are vulnerable, children who are in danger, and you begin to look at children who are in sex trafficking in the area, there are groups of Agape International Missions and also Love 146 that are here in this church who are reaching out to people in Orlando, pulling kids out of sex trafficking, out of slavery, and getting them back into the world, instilling in them worth and value again. Like, this is what's going on in this church. This church takes seriously the call to care for the orphan in their affliction, to care for the child who is vulnerable and helpless. And you see it all around. And then even beyond that, I've begun to see in the children's ministry how they've started reaching out to children with disabilities, how there are now over 50 children with disabilities who have come along the Sidekick program here, that we are reaching out to those and beginning to build systems so that they can come in and be a part of the church and not feel left out in any way, but feel loved and involved, and for the human beings and the children that they are. And we've also partnered with Buddy Break program, and they an incredible program that again helped kids with disabilities. So we've seen that this church takes seriously that call to care for the orphan, to care for those who are vulnerable, to care for those who are helpless and may not be able to help themselves. But there's also a second half to that verse. James says, true and undefiled religion is this, to care for the orphan and the widow. And this is for me something that again, as I've grown up in church, I've tended to see this half especially neglected. And it's something here that the elders, I've overheard the elders begin to say, we don't want to pick and choose what parts of the Bible we want to care about, but we want to lift up everything that God commands us to do, and we want to do that. And so they've said, we want to care about widows. So how do we do that? And these are the conversations that have begun to happen. And so as we are in this stage of our lives, as young adults, how can we enter into this picture? Should we enter into this picture? What does it mean? Is what James wrote here even applicable to today? And so those are some of the questions that we're going to be looking at and diving into as we go through the night. And so the question is, what does James mean when he says, care for the widows? Okay, so we know a widow is someone who's lost their husband. But it's different. It's easy for us to look and think, okay, in our context is what a widow is. But we've got to remember, this book was written 2,000 years ago. And what a widow was then, although by definition is the same, culturally it is worlds different. This book was written at a time when there was a patriarchal society. And so what that means is pretty much men dominated the society. So all the wealth, all of the property, all of the inheritance was tied up in the husband, was tied up in the son, was tied up in the men. And the women were kind of pushed to the fringes. Now Jesus came and he began to reach out to the women who were pushed out of society. But still, the culture itself alienated women. And so whenever a woman lost her husband, she lost her security. When a woman lost her husband, then she lost her freedom. She lost her nest egg. She lost her inheritance, her wealth, all of her security. Her future now looked much more bleak than it did before, and she was helpless. And this was the same for the orphan, that they didn't have a father or a mother. They were completely helpless on their own. And we see throughout the scriptures, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, throughout, God has a heart for the widow in that culture, in that context. So some of the verses that we see in the Old Testament, Psalm 68 says that God is a defender of widows. Psalm 146 says that God sustains the fatherless and the widow. So there we see the pairing again of those who are orphans and the widows, that these people were often left alone. They're often left without any hope. And there's one other category of person that's often grouped in with those, and that's the foreigner, the sojourner, the person that would come from another country and begin to live in someone else's land, that they were pushed to the fringes. And these three groups of people, often throughout the Bible, are linked together as people that God cares for. And not just because of the label that they were, not just because a woman had a husband who had died, or a child had lost their parents, or someone had moved to a new land, but God cared for them because they were on the outside. They were on the fringes of society. They were in a place in their life where they couldn't help themselves, and that is where God's heart breaks. and this continues throughout, even out of the Old Testament into the New Testament, we begin to see that the apostles were actually writing instructions to the church of how to care for widows. There was a widow list that we see in Acts 6 that there began to be some favoritism shown towards Hebrew widows and Greek widows. That those who were Hebrew would have all the food they wanted, they were okay, but those who were Greek, things were a little bit more tight. And they came to the leaders and they said, hey, something seems off here. And so the leaders, the apostles said, we need to appoint deacons here to be able to manage this list of widows. And so they began to put structures in place within the church to care for the widow in particular. We see in 1 Timothy 5, Paul writes extensive instructions to Timothy on how to care for the widow. Not just how to, but also who qualifies for widow care. You have to be over a certain age and you have to not have family. And he's very, very specific on how to care for the widow. And it's not just every widow, it's specifically the one who can no longer care for themselves. And so we see that this theme is continuing throughout Scripture, that God's heart breaks for those who are unable to help themselves. And this is why James writes to his group of people that he wrote this letter to and said, you want to know what true religion is? You want to know what pure and undefiled religion looks like? It's caring and helping for the people who can't help themselves. This is where the heart of God rests, and this is where the heart of his people should follow. That we should begin to look around us and see where is it that people are lost? Where is it that people are broken? Where is it that people are unable to get out of the situations that they're in? And that is where we should move to. That's where the church should begin to move and make a difference in the people around us. And so we begin to see then. So James wrote this to a certain context of people. And to be good Bible readers, we have to say, okay, so James, does that mean then in verse 27 that for us, religion that's pure and undefiled is the exact same? We should care for the orphan and care for the widow. And if we're good Bible readers and we go, no, it's bigger than that. It's not just, James isn't just saying, hey, here are two groups of people, go and care for them. If they fall under these demographics, these are the people that God cares for. Well, absolutely that's true. There are people that God cares for within those groups. What James is saying is beyond just these two groups, God cares for people that are unable to care for themselves. God's heart breaks for people that can't help themselves. And so we begin to see the group is actually bigger than just these two things. But for us, the question we have to ask, do widows fall into that group still today? Even though we're a different context, right? Women can do more now than they have ever been able to in history. We're no longer under a patriarchal society, so does that mean then that this verse is just out the window for us? With government systems and welfare and Medicare and Medicaid, does that mean we don't really have to care because the government's doing what the church should do? That women are able to be okay and we should maybe look to others? But I think that as we look around our lives, we begin to look at people who are in this circumstance, I think that if we have to answer that question, the answer to that question is absolutely. There are still widows today who are longing, who are hurting, who are in a place where they can't help themselves, and they need the church, they need the body, they need people, they need individuals to come alongside them into their lives and begin to love them, to care for them in the midst of their affliction. And so the question then is, okay, if we should, if this is a group of people, if these are widows, some people that we should still care for today, well, then how? Right? How do we, as 20-something-year-olds, as teens, as young adults, how in the world can we enter into that picture? Right? I don't know if you're anything like me. For the majority of my life, I'm like, what in the world can I do with someone who has just lost their husband? Right? I'm a kid. I've got nothing to offer. I don't have some huge home that I can move into, right? Most of us have probably got 8 roommates in our room trying to cut rent down. We don't really live in this lush situation where we can go, yeah, you know what, just come move in with me. I've got half a couch that you can sleep on. It's going to be great. It's going to be excellent. If I fold the futon down, we can fit 3 people on there. So come on, it's going to be awesome. So we're not really in that situation. which is Phil Taylor, who had just preached the 7 o'clock message here, said that's what God laid on his heart when they moved here, to buy an extra bedroom in their house so that specifically so they could care for people who couldn't care for themselves. And I hear that, I'm like, man, that is awesome. That is nowhere close to where I am. I'm looking around struggling to find a one-bedroom house in Orlando that I can afford. So that's not where I am. So how? How do I fit into that equation? How do we fit into that equation? If we say, okay, if in fact this verse is still true, that we are to care for the orphan and the widow in their affliction, if widows are people still today who need our help and our care, how can we do that? And about 2.5 years ago, God opened my eyes to the countless opportunities that we have to be able to help and step into widows' lives in their affliction. So if you've been here for a while, you've probably heard me share before. 2.5 years ago, I got a phone call that my father was mowing the yard and had a heart attack, and that he had passed away on the way to the hospital. And in a moment, life was changed. The reality that I knew was now gone, and we're still in the midst, in the wake of dealing with that. So the grief itself was something that I had to wrestle with and deal with. But then beyond that, I began to see the practical realities and the difficulties of a woman who's lived with her husband for 37 years, now has to go into life on her own, in her house, the everyday things that she's never had to think about before, she now has to deal with. And I saw how much my mom appreciated and the encouragement that it was to her whenever our neighbor, who is 19 years old, whenever he got done mowing his yard, just walked over and mowed hers. She'd call me in tears sometimes, just heartbroken, just with gladness, just saying, I can't believe that he would come and do that. It means so much, because there were so many people who didn't think about that. The lawn began to get bigger, and she's never had to mow the yard before. For 37 years, that hasn't been her thing, and now at 59 years old, she's supposed to just walk into that. But a 19-year-old kid who just graduated high school got done mowing his yard, and he's like, you know what, I've got an extra couple hours. I'll just roll it over there and finish the job. And he probably didn't think another thing of it, but it meant the world to her. That there are things around her house, whether it be a refrigerator that's broken or a dryer that isn't working right or something that she again, has never had to think about. And there are people in her life, there are people around that could step into that and could offer help. But if you look from the outside, here's the interesting thing that has been eye-opening for me. If you look on the outside, it seems like she's got everything together and is doing okay. She's still teaching junior English, which English is awful, but she loves it for some reason. So she's finding purpose and joy there. She loves teaching. She loves her students. She has her smile back, and she's full of life and joy. And if you look on the outside, it's like, hey, you know what? I know it's still hard. I know she's still wrestling with that loss. But she is okay. And she's in a place, and I've seen most people are like this, that there's something in us that doesn't want to reach out and ask for help. That we want to be able to do everything on our own. I especially see this in people as they get older and older. They don't want to be a burden to their children. So they're struggling on their own, but they don't want to reach out and just ask for help. And so we may look at people around us. We may look at people in this church. We may not even know that some people are widows or who have lost people. And we may go, you know what? It seems like everything's okay. But the truth is I promise there's pain, there's struggle, and there are things in their lives that you, as young adults, as 20-something year olds, can step into and meet them and bring the gospel into their life in a practical, tangible way. And you can care for widows in their affliction. You can walk alongside them and offer them hope. You can walk alongside them and offer to cut their yard. You can walk alongside them and just sit with them in an afternoon and just talk to them. And you won't know how far that will go in their lives. So this is then the call as we leave here and we begin to go into our lives. We go, well, what do we do? If this is true, what do we do? How do we do this? And this is one of the beauties of missional communities and why they exist. Missional communities are communities that are missional. So you have a group of people that we're involved with, that we're saying we want to, as a group here, get involved in mission in our lives. And so maybe it looks something like within your missional community, you go, okay, who is somebody that we can go? Is there anybody in this church who is recently widowed, who has been widowed? Or is there a group of people that we can maybe come to and say, hey, here's what we have to offer. We can do these things. We can mow the yard. We can sew. We can knit, or whatever girls do. I don't really know. We can get together and watch The Bachelor, or whatever. We can come hang out. We can come into your life. We can begin to maybe help you where you don't want to ask for help. We can enter into your life. And who knows what that looks like, right? That looks like, it can look like an infinite number of ways. The door is wide open to the possibilities. Whatever it is that you're passionate about, whatever it is that God has gifted you in, that's what you have to offer to people. So if that's sewing, if that's mowing the yard, if it's being a handyman or a handywoman and cutting things and fixing things, then offer those things. If it's just sitting down for a couple hours, once a month, once every 2 months, who knows? There is no structure. But maybe as we leave here and this week, as you begin to get into your missional communities, that's the conversations that begin to be had, is what can we do? Who can we come alongside? Who is somebody that's hurting, that needs our help? How can we bring the gospel tangibly into their life and bring care to those who maybe can't care for themselves? Because the question we have to ask is why? Why are we driven to do this for people? Why is James here saying, hey, care for the orphan and the widow? Care for those who can't help themselves? Right, as we've looked at adoption, we've seen that we as Christians were once enemies of God, but God, through his love, adopted us. That we were orphans, and God adopted us and made us children of the King. And because of that truth, because we were orphans and have been adopted, now because of that truth and the love which God has loved us, we then go and demonstrate that to the world. And listen, it's no different for the widow. As we see in this context in James, that the widow was somebody who was completely helpless, who had lost her security, had lost her hope, had lost her future. She couldn't just go and get a job and just be okay. She had nothing to hope for. The older and older she got, the more and more difficult it was. And James was saying, care for those who can't help themselves. And the reality is that for you and for me, that we were in that same situation. That before we knew God, we were in a situation where we could not help ourselves, right? This is our reality. We were the widow. So we read in Ephesians 2 who we were. And Paul writes to the church in Ephesus in verse 1 of chapter 2. He says, you were dead and the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of the flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Paul is saying, this is who you were. You were dead in your sins and your trespasses. We were completely helpless. We could do nothing for ourselves. We were by nature children of wrath. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, even when we were helpless, he made us alive together with Christ. And so we see that for us, our call to love the widow, our call to come alongside people who can't help themselves, is rooted in the truth that that's who we were. We were the widow. We were helpless. We could do nothing. We were dead. But God, Two of the most beautiful words in the scriptures. But God being rich in mercy. And we see now that whenever we reach out to people who can't help themselves, why it's called Mercy Ministries. Because we are doing nothing different than what God did for us. He was rich in his mercy. And he came and what was dead, he brought to life. And so for us, our desire to go and reach out to those who can't help themselves, it's not just another law. It's not a command that we should just try to go and do so that maybe we could be better. But no, it is rooted in the love of God. This is true that God's law is rooted in God's love. When he gives a command, it's rooted in his love that he has. So when he tells us, hey, you want to know what pure and undefiled religion is? Care for the orphan. Care for the widow. Why? I'm not just telling you that to tell you that. I'm telling you that because I loved you and did the exact same thing for you. So go and demonstrate that love to the world and bring them to me. Win them to me. Love them to me. Care them to me. Show them the gospel tangibly and practically. And as you do that, tell them as well about my love. Tell them about the love in which you are living in. This is our call, that beloved, if God so loved us, then we also ought to love one another. In 1 John 4:11, we do nothing other than mirror the love of God. We look at what he did for us, and we do that for others. This is the call of the Christian life. The Christian is to care for those who can't help themselves. Why? Because that's who we were. We were in the midst of that. We were dead, and he made us alive. We were orphans, and he made us children of the King. We were enemies. We were foreigners, but he made us friends. And guys, we were widows, but now we are the bride of Christ, waiting for our bridegroom. So this is why we care. This is why this passage is still relevant to us today. This is why we take these words, we leave here, and we begin to have conversations. How can we do this practically in our church? How can we come alongside people and show them the gospel, care for them in the smallest of ways that will go far beyond what you could ever ask, think, or imagine? So let's go. Let's go and begin to live this out. Because faith without works is dead, James says later on. And so let's not just hear it and go out and go, you know what, that's great. Let's begin to live this because this is what God has done for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time to just come and see and be reminded of the love that you had for us, if nothing else. God, that we saw that we were widows, we were helpless, we were completely on our own, and you came and you brought us to life. Thank you, God, thank you for giving us life. Thank you for giving us hope. Thank you for giving us eternal security. And plant in our hearts the same desire that you have for those that can't help themselves. Specifically tonight for the widow, for the woman who has lost her husband. That we begin to see practically that doors would be opened and that relationships would begin to be formed. So that we can begin to live this out in our lives, no matter what that looks like. Give us a heart for the widow that you have. God, thank you so much for your son and for saving us. It's in his beautiful and precious name I pray. Amen.